Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you all to the November 8th regular meeting for the MPC, the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission. We'll pause for our invocation, and then we'll proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance.
Any volunteers? Any volunteers? Invocation? Thanks.
I'm sorry, Father, we thank you for this time to meet together again. It's silently important issues that we are faced with. I pray that the decisions will be made for the betterment of the community and no one's.
Self-interest, all the stress, and I name amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. The Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting is holding hybrid meetings. Therefore, there are some participants that are online and participating with us virtually. So just so everybody's aware. For staff, petitioners and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by the regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioners, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open to the public. If you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give that to staff. If you are participating virtually, at the time that we ask for public comment, you will use the raise your hand feature that is in the control panel on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. In addition to staff unmuting your microphone, we ask that you remember to unmute your microphone as well. At the end of the allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will then be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on that petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on the petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still raise your hand, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, still fill out a speaker card, and you will have the option to decline when your name is called. After the public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. I just wanted to make, while we're doing the housekeeping and getting things going, wanted to make a note that we want to remind everybody to please participate in our civic duties today if you not have already done so, and remember to vote. There's a lot of critical things on the ballot for locally as well as state, so please do your due diligence, your civic duty, and vote. All right, thank you. So we'll now move on to the approval of the agenda. Their motion to approve the agenda. It's a second. Okay, motion made by Mr. Wildwoody and seconded by Ms. Jarrett. Karen. if there's no discussion on that motion, we'll enter a vote. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. We'll move on to notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. That item is the November 29th, 2022 regular MPC meeting at 1:30, the Planning Commission, and it is in the Arthur Mendoza Hearing Room at 112 East State Street. Okay, now we'll move on to the items requested to be removed from the final agenda. I'll read those items for the record. Item number 3 on there is a map amendment, Wild Heron Road, It's a rezone from A1 to RMF 1 and RSF 4, excuse me. And that petition number is 22-002-692-ZA. Next item, master plan amendment is 1901 Benton Boulevard. Petition number 22-003026. Next item is a map amendment at 362 Fort Argyle Road, a rezone from A1 to IL. Petition number 22-003510. Next item is a map amendment at 12500 Apache Avenue. It's a rezone from RSFE to BM. Petition number 22-004424-ZA. And then there's the next item is a special use permit at 12500 Apache Avenue. Request for an accessory alcohol sale by the drink within a marina restaurant. Petition number 22-004426-ZA. And lastly, rezoning map amendment 1800 East 63rd Street. And that is a rezone from RSF6 to RMF 2-20, petition number 22-004421.
No, a motion to remove.
Thank you.
I already second.
Do have a comment before we vote.
Yes, sir.
Can we look at some of these items have been on here for months and months, and I think we need to look at least re-advertising after a certain time period or something, because I think it's a disservice to the community when they think something's coming and then nothing happens and then nothing happens. And then when all the hoopla kind of winds down, oh, let's push it on through. And I think if nothing less after a certain time period, which is would be left up to staff and then I guess the board, re-advertise.
We've been looking at that, not only re-advertising, but also having the property reposted because you can only mark through a sign so many times. That is something that we've been discussing and we'll be working with the city and the county regarding getting, you know, updated signage and to see what cost, if any, is incurred and how that's paid for. But you're absolutely right. There have been a number of cases that have continuously been approved. Our ordinance right now allows for the applicant to approve it for, you know, two times. And so.
And I'd like to add that we do, when these items are come back for a hearing, we do send new letters to the property owners and or homeowners associations. So they are notified that the item is actually going to be heard. When they've been continued multiple times. We'll do that with these should they be heard. I just as an aside, I know several of these are going to be coming off officially, but there's a process that we have to have things from the applicant to take it away for good. But and that will be happening with some of these, but we do notify them through letters.
And I don't think that's something that the commission should pay for personally. I mean, if this is a delay because the applicant has pulled it numerous times.
And in some cases,
any cost should be incurred by them.
In some cases, there are items that are things that we've pulled or the board has continued and they're off fixing something or doing something, a traffic study or whatever it might be. And that does delay the process.
But when it comes to signage, that's where we need to get with the city and the county to discuss because they generally will provide the signage. What, if any, cost that would be so that there's new signage. I think that's the biggest piece is getting new signage as well. That's one of the things that I get emails about. So they're both here. So I think they will also make note that we need to also have that in place.
All right. Thanks. Good point. All right. So we'll move on to the items requested to be withdrawn. There are none listed. Now we'll move on to the consent agenda. And again, just for a point of information. The consent agenda consists of items of which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and for which there have no known objections have been identified or anticipated. Any objections raised at the meeting will result in that item being moved to the regular agenda. We did not have anyone ask to remove anything from the regular agenda. So, from the consent agenda to the regular agenda. So we'll go ahead and address the other part of it, and that is? Oh, we didn't. No, my apologies. I thought we did. No, we didn't vote. My apologies. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. We'll back up to the items requested to be removed from the final agenda and get a vote. It was a motion was made by Mr. Noah and second by Mr. Wildwoody. Any discussions beyond what Mr. Noah presented already? Okay, thanks. So we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And thank you for that catch, Mr. Wildwoody. Okay, now we'll move back into the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, we have the 2023 holiday schedule. And then we also have the approval of the October 11th briefing and meeting minutes. Any discussion on those items?
No, a motion to approve consent agenda in its entirety.
Why would he second?
Thank you. Motion made by Noah and seconded by Wildwoody. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, is this for the 23 holiday schedule or 22?
Stay in 23.
That's for next year? And when you think holidays, you think now, you know.
Excuse me?
When you think holidays, you think now.
Well, we basically are
okay,
getting in
thank
line
you.
Like they do at the county and the city to do holiday you, schedule.
Thank you. All right. Again, the motion is made by Mr. Noah, seconded by Mr. Wildwoody. If there's no further questions or discussion regarding these items, we'll enter into a vote. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Motion passes. Excuse me. Then we'll go on to the old business. There's none listed. Now we'll go into regular business. The first item on the agenda is the zoning text amendment, Savannah Gardens Plan Development District, petition number 22-004-675-ZA. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item, along with the companion item, which is next on the agenda, is related to the Savannah Gardens Plan Development. This is a exhibit showing the master plan as proposed here today. The petitioner's request, and I should mention the petitioner is the City of Savannah in conjunction with the Community Housing Services Agency. The request is to amend this section of the ordinance to allow single family residential in the mixed use land designation, which is within the Savannah Gardens PUD. The PUD was adopted in 2009, and the property here primarily was formerly known as Strathmore Estates. It's approximately 43 acres, and it was purchased by the Community Housing Services Agency in 2007. Subsequently, this PUD at that time was established to provide affordable housing for a mix of homeowners, renters, as well as senior citizens. The original PUD document established the permitted uses that would be allowed within the boundaries of the district. It established the development standards and other criteria related to coordinating the phased development of the project, which is probably 99% built out at this stage. The adopted districts, which you see on the map, include single family residential, townhouse residential, multifamily, mixed use, and public green space. In addition, CHSA has identified an opportunity to provide additional single family residences on certain parcels that are adjacent to the boundaries of the PUD right here. The parcels that are identified as neighborhood business in the land use pod shown as MU8. The proposed text change would include single family residential as a permitted use in the mixed use classification, which it currently is not, and that would allow the development of these properties. The mixed use land use classification is defined as a land use or designated area designed to accommodate a variety of conforming residential and non-residential uses, including retail, service, and office uses. The standards in the PD are specific only to the Savannah Gardens. These standards allow and encourage a variety of land uses and provide the City of Savannah authority to enforce the standards as necessary. In this case, the master developer, which is CHSA, enforces the development and design guidelines for the plan development to ensure that the development within the Savannah Gardens is unified and consistent. The proposal to add single-family residential as a permitted use in the mixed-use designation is consistent with the intent of the guidelines, and we also believe that this designation will provide flexibility for the remainder of the property within that MU8 pod. Based on these findings, staff is recommending approval of the text amendment. I can go into the companion item at this time if you like, Mr. Chairman.
That's fine.
Okay. The companion item is a proposed rezoning of those properties that I mentioned. This is a tax map that shows the subject properties as they are today. However, they would be divided into four single-family residences that would front onto Bowling Street. This is East Gwinnett Street and the Savannah Gardens PUD to the north here. And you can see these properties currently are within the BN or neighborhood business zoning classification. At the time or previously, these properties were part of a commercial development that has since been removed. And currently there are existing attached single family residences that front onto Gwinnett Street at this location.
Anything? You still working on it, Mr. Larson?
No, I'm all done. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. We do have a representative from CHSA here also, if there are any questions for them.
Okay. And just for the record, I wanted to make sure it reflects that people, everyone understands that that was addressing item number 11 that is on the agenda, as well as item number 12, just so everybody's clear. Any questions for Mr. Larson?
I have a question.
Jack.
Mr. Lawson, I just wanted to clarify, when you showed us the map of the two parcels, they seem to be separated from the overall Savannah Gardens. Are the two parcels on, the other parcels on Gwinnett connected already?
Are you referring to in this area?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Okay. That's all.
And that's where those existing attached residences are today.
Thank you.
Anything further for Mr. Lotson? Okay. We'll hear from the petitioner.
Anything to add? Nothing to add?
Nothing to add? Okay. All right. Any members of the public wish to speak on this item? Did you fill out a blue card? Okay, thank you. 1 second.
Elena.
Surrett, okay. So, Miss Elena, is it Elena? Elena Surrett? Mm-hmm. Alana Surrett?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you state your name for the record?
Alana Surrett.
Thank you.
I guess my questions were they intending to put attached homes on those properties, or we were going from mixed use, right? You're going from neighborhood use, that zoning designation, and instead now we're going to mixed use, which would include residential homes as well. Is that right?
Yeah, let me answer that. I just want to get on the mic for everybody to hear me. So right now, this area includes attached single family along Gwinnett Street. The properties on Bowling Street to the rear of this would be detached single family. The purpose of this petition is to take those properties out of the neighborhood business zoning classification and put them into this mixed use classification, and then to add single family as an allowed use within the mixed use classification. So those four homes could be on Bowling Street.
I guess my question was, why are we going to mixed use and not single family home zoning?
I think the intent is to allow for this pod all to be mixed use, because there are already existing attached single-family residences here. Mixed use does offer additional flexibility for the developer, CHSA, for the balance of the property.
And I guess that's where my concern comes in, is because it's a residential area. Mm-hmm. So allowing flexibility, I understand, and I can, sure, I'd want to do whatever I want with my property, but there are established homes in this area. And if it was to become mixed use, and let's say down the road they decide, well, we want to put in a daycare center or a coffee shop or whatever, traffic is already very limited in that area. I don't think that would be a good use for the community. So that's why I'm just here to speak up, and why wouldn't it be just zoned so that we would forever know that it is going to be single family home use, which is great, really great. as opposed to in the future, we don't know, because, you know, home values and things like that are things that I'm taking into concern as a homeowner in the community.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lawson, I guess with that line of question, I want to be clear on something. Is that pod, as you call it, is that one parcel?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Yeah, let me, and maybe I can show you on a better map here. Let's see.
Yeah, that was where my question came in again.
So these are the properties in question, the highlighted ones, which would become four single family residences, as shown as two here, because those parcels have not been divided yet. But then the balance of this along this frontage is existing, was commercial at one time and is now residential.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Lawson, would it be appropriate or possible for us to condition that properties along Bowling Street be single family residences?
Well, you certainly can make that recommendation, Ms. Jarrett. And my understanding is that that is was exactly the intent of CHSA for this petition. That is something that this board can recommend as a matter of any approval that's made here today, a recommendation for approval.
Okay, anyone else? Ms. Bowles.
So are any of those properties adjacent designated mixed use or anything other than residential?
Adjacent to the properties on Bowling Street?
Yes.
No, those properties, well, let me show you this. This is a zoning map. So all the properties here and immediately next door are single family.
And right,
those
now,
properties are not within the Savannah Gardens PD.
Thank you.
Right now, the zoning in that particular location is business.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Noah.
Just before we vote, I'm going to notify you that I'm abstaining, as I also serve on the board for CSH.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone on the computer that is as a member of the public? No?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Surratt. Did you get your answers? Is a little better, is a little more clear for you, I should say.
You want to come back?
Yeah. Yeah, the audio doesn't catch you though.
Sure. I understand intent, and that's well and good, but in actuality, what one can do with one's property is at their discretion. So I truly believe that is the intent, to put that as single family homes, but I don't want to plan the value of my home or think about things that are happening in the community just simply solely based on intent. So that's why I wanted it to be clear what it would be moving forward. I don't want to tie anyone's hands, but, you know, and as the community changes and grows and develops, then I would assume that you know, applying for rezoning for that area would be something that would happen as well,
right,
as it does everywhere else.
Right.
But thank you.
Duly noted. Thank you. Mr. Miller.
Just a question for clarification, Mr. Lawson. Currently, it's zoned for mixed use, correct?
It's zoned for commercial. Neighborhood business is a commercial classification. It allows, under the current zoning, things like retail, service-oriented businesses, convenience stores, things of that nature.
And just for the community members' comments, the petitioner, the city of Savannah, is asking to include single-family residences as a part of that allowable use, so that single-family residence can be built at that site.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Just making that clarification.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. If there are no more questions or concerns, we'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve staff's recommendation with the condition that residences be constructed along Bowling.
Okay.
Second.
All right. There's a motion on the floor made by Ms. Jarrett and seconded by Mr. Wildwoody to approve staff's recommendation with the condition that residents, the property facing Bowling Street will be allocated to residential, single family residential. Excuse me.
Point of clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
We are voting on item, which one, 11 or 12?
It was recommended that we do one or two, one at a time. Yes, we were going to do. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. So we'll vote on the text amendment itself first, and then we'll go and do the rezoning itself. All right. So from the text amendment, so we'll. So procedurally, I think we should just, I guess there's no vote, so we'll just back up to item number 11.
Excuse me, I would recommend that you vote to make a recommendation on the text amendment first.
Right.
And then after that, make your recommendation on the zoning.
Right. Yeah, I was just procedurally trying to make sure I figured it out properly, because we've already got a motion and a second for the use.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay, thank you. So the motion was drawn. So now we'll go back to item number 11 and make a motion on the zoning text amendment alone. And that is for the allowing the use of single residential single family.
Joe Urban, move to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Urban.
Move to approve.
Why would he second?
Motion on the floor made by Mr. Urban and seconded by Mr. Wildwoody. Any discussion? All right. We'll enter into a vote. Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah? Oh, that's right. My apologies. Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Wildwoody?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. So the motion carries and it is approved. All right. So now we'll go into the rezoning itself, item number 12, from the BN to the PD. And that is what we have with the condition. So
move to approve staff recommendation with the condition that residences be constructed along Bowling.
Second. Why would you?
Okay. Any discussion on the motion?
I'm sorry, can we put a condition that residence must be constructed someplace versus an allowable use? Yes.
Yeah. Are you asking if that's an appropriate condition?
I basically think that she's basically conditioning or suggesting that residences be facing Bowling Street. If residences are constructed at that site, right now they can be anywhere on the site. So I think I can't speak for her, but that's the way that I took it, was that for residential development, she hoped that it's consistent with facing Bowling Street in order to address one of the concerns of the.
That only residences can be constructed on Bowling Street.
Right. I think the point that is being made here is that it can be as opposed to must be.
Shall be.
Yeah, no.
No.
I think that's what Mr. Melders is. Can we go to the point of shall?
No, I think that the most appropriate thing would be that if you're going to have a condition, that your condition would be that single family would be allowed on the Bowling Street side, so that you're at least giving some guidance to them as they develop the property. That at least gives them guidance versus they don't have to do it. They're gonna build where they can build, but
for clarity, the petition is to essentially change the zoning to allow CHSA, the city, and other partners to be able to build single-family homes. And the staff has recommended to approve that motion. And I'm missing something a little bit in the condition, which seems like we might be conditioning something that's the intent, but perhaps adding a condition that we don't necessarily know the consequence of.
Understood. My concern was just to try and address the citizens' concern that residences be constructed on Bowling Street and not another type of mixed use.
Understood.
Okay. So, I mean, I just want to get clarification on the motion that you've put forth thus far, or I guess we're at a point of a second if anybody supports the way it's been motioned.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Mr. Wildwood.
May I ask, before you make that final vote, would you please reiterate exactly, so that for the record, what the question, the vote, the motion, and then the condition, please, sir?
Sure. So the question at hand, the motion was made by Ms. Jarrett, and you said Mr. Wildwood, you actually did. I didn't hear it, and I apologize. Mr. Wildwood, he seconded, was to approve staff's recommendation with the condition that the single family residential be built to face Bowling Street. The question was then presented by Mr. Melder as to whether it is appropriate for us to essentially place a shall on the idea of the single family residential facing Bowling Street. And that's where the discussion came in. So that's currently the motion on the floor, is to where the recommendation and or the desire to have the single family residential facing Bowling Street.
I'm open to a friendly amendment that would clarify it.
Would anybody like to make an amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I think the only amendment would be looking at the intent of the text amendment itself. If we look at the intent of it, intent is for single family housing to be built. I think you have to go back to the text amendment, which is the intent, which is the enabling statute that allows them to do what they want to do. So I think we might be at a point of redundancy of restating what has already been stated. So it may very well be a point of maybe a withdrawal of it.
And I don't disagree. I think the only concern was, and the reason for it was essentially allow for the public, based off of the line of questioning, to understand what the intent is and how the intent idea was a little unsettling. But I mean, I'm perfectly fine with moving forward as is, because as you just said, the language does reflect.
What does the text mean? Would you consider approving the recommendation with the condition that the residential integrity on Bowling Street be maintained?
I mean,
not a big difference.
Isn't it? I mean, it's really not, but. Your microphone.
Yeah, just reiterating that the approval is based on the intent that residential integrity be maintained as opposed to some other mixed use.
Okay, I think
if I may, I think that it would be cleaner to just look at the text amendment wording.
Right.
The reason that they're coming before us now is that they want to put up single family housing. I think there's some misunderstanding that people might have thought that they were wanting to do something more intense, where they're already allowed to do commercial or retail right now.
Right.
And in this case, they're basically wanting to be allowed to have single family housing. I think from what I heard, the person that spoke wanted to at least make sure that that housing had some type of orientation to Bowling Street. You know, it's based on how they get the properties to fit once it's laid out. But the bottom line is that this is to allow for single-family residential to be in those areas, and that's what this does. So if you approve the staff recommendation based on this text amendment, it's going to do that. The only thing that Ms. Jarrett's motion was doing was reiterating the fact that they wanted to see housing facing Bowling Street.
Right.
That's it. But the text amendment itself addresses single family.
Right.
I think where the confusion is coming in is that if that was the intent for single family residential, why didn't they ask for single family residential as opposed to mixed use?
I think I can probably add some color to that if I may. I think we should keep in mind that within this pod, this MU8 pod, the proposed residences are not the only thing in here.
Right.
Right now, there is some attached residential in this pod. I think in addition, under the current zoning, the neighborhood business zoning, which is not a part of the Savannah Gardens PD, single family residential is not a permitted use. So the intent is to bring the property into the PUD so that it's governed by the CHSA guidelines and to allow single family residential on the Bowling Street side while accommodating the existing uses within that MU8 pod.
Ms. Bowles.
Is there a residential zoning designation that would permit both single family residential and the attached residential so that that's the zoning we would recommend?
Well, in order to bring the property into the Savannah Gardens PD, it would have to be either, because they've only got five land use designations within the PD, single family, townhomes, multifamily, mixed use, and then green space. So it would have to be in one of those districts or one of those designations in order to be within the PUD. And our finding was that the mixed use designation made sense for this property. You know, the member of the public who spoke earlier, their comments notwithstanding, I do understand that the properties that face Bowling Street under the mixed use designation could in theory be a different use other than single family. And I think that was the intent of the comments that were made earlier.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
If I can just offer a comment. CHSA is a housing developer. The Savannah Gardens is a housing community. The petition and the intent of the city is to be able to allow to build single family homes on this site, which is why the city is seeking that petition. I recognize that colleagues on the board are trying to make sure that that intent is built into the recommendation, but I'm worried about unintended consequences of our best intentions here on the board, where the intent is clear that that Savannah Gardens wants to add single family residence to this plot on Bowling Street, and that, you know, from my point of view, I would be very, very comfortable supporting staff's recommendation without any additional conditions.
Thank you.
I'm willing to amend my motion to approve staff recommendation only.
Okay. So second on the amendment.
A second. Why would
I would do a voice vote on the amendment, and that is to approve as for the motion to be as just approving staff's recommendation as noted. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, thank you. So now we go back to, and we'll go into the actual vote for the amendment. And the amendment is, we'll vote for the motion, and the motion on the floor was made by Ms. Jarrett and seconded by Mr. Wildwoody to approve staff's recommendation as outlined in staff review. All right, any discussion? Any further? I think we've exhausted this one. All right.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, the previous vote was to accept the amendment?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so notice being that there's no discussion on the motion, we'll enter a vote. Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
And Mr. Noah recused himself. All right. And then Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
And Mr. Wildwoody?
Yes.
And I too, and the motion carries, and the motion is approved. All right. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's the master plan amendment for Hopetoun Landing, petition number 22-004682.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item for your consideration is a proposed master plan amendment for Hopetoun Landing plan development. This property is located on the northeast side of Little Neck Road between U.S. Highway 17 and Interstate 95. Go here first. So the existing master plan, which was approved by the City of Savannah in July of 2021, it identified where each land use would be permitted, as well as the location of access points, amenity areas, use buffers, wetlands, residential density for each proposed tract of land, et cetera. And the applicant, since the approval of the initial plan, has been working on the site, some of which has been in conjunction with Chatham County as it relates to Little Neck Road in particular. As I mentioned in the pre-meeting, there is a road improvement project associated with Little Neck Road that Chatham County Engineering is managing, and they've worked with the applicant to address primarily connection points so that they would be in conjunction with what is being done by the county. Those changes have precipitated other changes as well. The further review and survey of the property have precipitated other changes, including some orientation of the pods that are seen here on the approved plan, and some connection points, as I mentioned, as well as addressing the future development area and some wetlands that have been identified on the site. The applicant is proposing a series of changes, which I've shown here. The first change is to relocate the primary entrance to the site. They've moved this entrance from where you can see was originally here. They moved it to the east to this location. And that change of the spine road precipitated some changes in the layout of some of the pods that you see as well. So these pods that are identified as number 2 here and down here have been reoriented. These are pods were identified for townhomes, multifamily, and commercial as well down in this area. So as I scroll back, you'll see the previous iteration, which included multifamily, townhomes, commercial here, have been adjusted thusly. They've also allocated what was identified as the future development area here as a multifamily pod, and the other future development area, which was located here, has been identified as a stormwater management area. In addition to those changes, they've eliminated the former Tract 1, which was at this location. And as you can see in the proposed changes, that tract is gone because of jurisdictional wetlands that were found to be located in this area. So that area has become not a buildable area. They also did a reduction in the size of tracts 8 and 9. And I'll go back here to show you those. And the westernmost access point has also been relocated. And that is these two single family pods. Tracks 2 and 7 were also consolidated into a single family tract. All in all, well, let me make a couple of more statements actually. The alignment of the primary entrance road for the planned development area was done, or the realignment was done in accordance with the review of Chatham County Engineering, and they wanted to align it with the Henderson Oaks neighborhood, which is on the south side here, so that they would have the potential for a signalized intersection at this location. We don't believe that the proposed changes to the approved master plan are material. There are no new land use categories or significant changes to the internal road network. I know we did have some discussions about that in the pre-meeting, which I think the applicant will be able to discuss some in more detail today here at this meeting. The commercial land use designation has been reduced by approximately 50%. And changes to the general development standards, including codifying the standards specific to multifamily, low-density residential, are also included. In terms of residential density, the residential single-family pods are identified as 4 units per acre. Residential multifamily is in 2 categories, low-density and medium-density. The medium-density is at 16 units per acre, and the low-density is at 12 units per acre. And then the residential townhome development is at 8 units per acre. We believe the proposed changes are in keeping with the original approval and do not cause any significant concern as it relates to what was previously approved. I do want to add for everyone's information, some of the more significant statistical changes to the proposed amended plan versus what was previously approved, and that is in the area of wetlands and total residential uses. Under the existing plan, the total wetland acreage is approximately 185. Under the proposed plan, it's approximately 240. And under the existing plan, the total number of residential units is approximately 1,066. And under the proposed master plan, including the allocated area that was formerly unidentified here, is 1,493. So that's some of the highlights, really, of the changes. And the applicant is here to answer questions, and I'll be happy to take any that the board have as well.
All right, thank you, Mr. Larson. Any questions for Mr. Larson? Ms. Jarrett.
Overall density increase?
Yes.
By?
And that is because of the fact that, let me go back here.
So we lose institutional and we gain residential.
Yeah, there was also a reduction in commercial as well as institutional, and additional in residential, because the area that was formerly future development is now identified as multifamily residential.
All right.
Any further questions? Mr. Wildwood.
Point out on your map where Al Henderson Boulevard is.
Like, sure. Let me zoom in a little here. Al Henderson. This is the entrance.
That is that it? I can't really tell.
No, that's Zipper Drive. I'm sorry. Yep.
It's off to the right of the map.
It's not.
It's not on this map.
And show up. Okay. What is the future lighted site or lighted intersection?
Zipper Drive.
Oh, that's
and the future right of way here. Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's a little further west.
Yes.
All right. Ms. Jarrett.
Will they assure connectivity between pod 6 and between the single family residential to the west?
Here.
Yes, and the other to the.
And the adjacent single family residential. I'll let the applicant's engineer make that statement on the record, Ms. Jarrett.
All right. If there's no more questions for staff, we had a petitioner. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Travis Burke with Coleman Company, representing Little Ogeechee Partners for the Hopeton Landing Amendment. And Marcus did a good introduction there of what these proposed changes were. Just to kind of reiterate the reason, the main reason for the changes to the master plan, we're really twofold. One was, once we got our jurisdictional wetlands finalized with the Corps of Engineers, the wetland system grew in several areas. And then as we finalized our actual boundary and field survey conditions aligning with some of the access roads on the south side of Little Neck Road, it became painfully obvious that some of these just physically weren't obtainable, particularly the alignment right here with Henderson Oaks. The cemetery, the existing cemetery and wetlands provide an obstacle. We tried to work some geometry in there to squeeze it through and by using some wetland impacts, but we never could get county engineering comfortable with that geometry. So coordinating with them on these access points they're trying to establish along Little Neck Road, you know, it was determined that moving that main primary access east to align with Zipper, which is going to be a full access median break in the future, made the most sense. So that kind of caused this area to get a different, little bit different look. They did agree to a right in, right out, right there beside the cemetery. So we would be able to maintain two points of access on the east side of the canal. West side of the canal, there will be an access lining up with the existing apartments right here. And then 6, 7, and 8 will, actually this is 8 and 9, will be combined to a single access point here. To answer Mrs. Jarrett's question, yes, that there will be connectivity between all the residential pods. We're not proposing any connectivity over the county canal. They expressed concerns early on when we were first looking at developing the property about, you know, canal crossings, introducing, you know, a constriction within their drainage system there. So we're not considering any connection between what we're calling Hopeton East and West, but there will definitely be interconnectivity within and all of those pods on either side. I wasn't sure if there were any other questions that were directed to Marcus that were not answered.
Any more questions any questions for the petitioner?
Just to clarify, on the below the number 3, it says future connection.
Yes,
will be in place, correct?
Yes, we will establish that as this pod is developed, and then it'll be there for whenever the future, you know, for the adjacent property to connect.
And hopefully they will connect.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. All right, are there any members of the public that wishes this? Well, is the petitioner fully done? Is there any?
Yeah, unless anybody's got any questions for me. Like I said, Marcus does a great job. Okay. I don't really need to elaborate, but if there was anything specific I could address, I'd be happy to.
Nope. I think we're all clear. Thanks.
Thank you.
There are any member of the public that wishes to speak on this petition? Somebody online?
Carrie Bieber.
Carrie Bieber, please unmute yourself and state your name for the record. Ms. Bieber is indicating that you are self-muted. If you would, please unmute your microphone so that you can submit your comment.
All right, Mr. Chairman, she has put some comments in the chat. I guess she's having issues with her audio. It says, this is Carrie Bieber with West Chatham County Community Watch. Everyone familiar with Hopeton Landing is aware of the heavy community involvement with this property and is aware of the impact this property will have on the community. Although this amendment did not have signs posted as part of the public hearing, what can be done to make sure this community receives a courtesy notification when this property is on the MPC's agenda?
Okay, and that's everything. Would the petitioner like to respond to?
Yes, sir. So we, you know, filed our application through the normal processes with the City of Savannah and the Planning Commission. Public notice, advertisement, putting up signs was not a part of the PUD amendment process. So as we were not required to provide that type of notification, we did not. Unless I'm mistaken, Marcus.
Can I ask staff or our executive director to touch on that?
So as y'all know now, this property is in the City of Savannah.
Yeah.
And within the city ordinance, there's an Article 3, I believe, talks about all the requirements for the various types of public notice procedures, whether it's rezoning, site plans, whatever it is, variances. Master plan amendments do not require public notice, so we did not go through those procedures for this petition.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, so there's no more public comment. We'll go into board discussion and or motion.
Coleman, I make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Noah, second.
All right, motion on the floor made by Mr. Coleman and seconded by Mr. Noah to approve staff's recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none, we'll enter a vote. Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Wildwood?
Yes.
And I vote yes as well. Motion carries and the project is approved.
Thank you.
Move on to the next item on the agenda. That is the master plan amendment for the Exchange at Berwick. That's 1022-00317.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner is requesting MPC approval of an amendment to the Berwick Plantation Master Plan. Berwick Plantation is a planned community located on the west side of Highway 17, approximately 1,000 feet north of Larchmont Drive. It's within a planned development zoning district. The proposed amendment is to change the land use designation of the subject property, which we'll go into here in just a second, from commercial retail is the current land use designation, to the multifamily residential land use designation. The master plan, which you see before you, was initially approved by the MPC in conjunction with the rezoning of the site in November of 2007. There have been a number of amendments since that time, most recently in 2019. The Exchange is the commercial and multifamily residential portion of the Berwick master plan. It includes retail, services, dining, medical offices. The balance, however, of Berwick is primarily a mix of single and multifamily residential and institutional uses. The residential components are largely built out. There are multifamily apartment sites nearby, and the applicant is proposing to change the property that I'm going to bring up here now from commercial retail to multifamily residential. This is the subject site highlighted here on Highway 17 or adjacent to Highway 17. The undeveloped site that you see immediately next door is now the Ace Hardware. This is the Kroger Shopping Center and the various out parcels here, some of which are now developed that are not shown in this photograph. The site is approximately 11 acres. About 7.5 of that is buildable. The tract includes within the property boundaries a portion of the large stormwater retention facility that you see here, west of the subject property of those retail stores that I've mentioned. And the property is separated from the townhomes to the north by an existing, essentially it's a 100-foot buffer. There are a 60-foot drainage easement there that's maintained by Chatham County, and then a 40-foot vegetative buffer on either side as well. The property does front onto this private vehicular drive that serves as the uses within the Exchange, which was a major point of discussion in our pre-meeting, which I'm sure we'll discuss here today. The site does have access to US Highway 17 by that paved private drive. It does serve all the commercial tracks in the Berwick Exchange. That drive has three existing curb cuts on 17 and three existing curb cuts on Berwick Boulevard. We did do a quick traffic analysis of the property based on what the petitioner is proposing. The allowed uses under the current commercial retail classification would likely exceed the AM and PM peak hour trips that would be created by multifamily land use. However, I just want to put on the record that the Chatham County Department of Engineering would reserve the right to require a full traffic impact analysis during the development phase of this process, should the land use amendment be approved. We believe that the proposed master plan, the purpose of the existing master plan is to provide orderly development within uses related to each other. On these large scale master plans, they rarely get built out quickly. Things change in real estate markets and the economy. And oftentimes things change within these master plans from a land use standpoint, which is why we've seen the series of amendments that we've seen in this particular master plan. Staff does find that the proposed use can be compatible with the surrounding area. The traffic concerns, which we discussed in the pre-meeting, are a concern. I should mention that we did look at this from the standpoint of if it were to be built out commercial versus multifamily residential. We believe there's some consideration for that from a traffic standpoint. And with that and the findings that we've identified, we are recommending approval of the petitioner's request to amend the master plan to change the land use designation from commercial retail to multifamily residential. I do want to, before we move off this, just go a little bit into what the applicant is proposing conceptually in terms of the build out of the property. This is a site plan that was provided by the applicant for the multifamily residential buildings that would be proposed. As we mentioned in the pre-meeting, they're proposing a residential density of approximately 24 units an acre, which based on the buildable area would allow potentially up to 180 residential units within this area. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Any questions for staff? Okay. We'll now hear from the petitioner. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Josh Yellen, here today on behalf of the applicant, Olympus Ventures. And we have with us from the applicant and development team, Ms. Della Colpin, along with James Polk, and along with the project engineer, we have Rusty Windsor from Kimley Horn. And so we are happy to answer any questions that y'all have. And we do want to thank Mr. Lotson and MPC staff for the recommendation of approval. As Mr. Lotson mentioned, this request today is for the approval of a master plan amendment. We have an 11-acre site currently zoned PUDC with the classification of commercial. Our proposed amendment is to shift that allocation from commercial. It's a large commercial site, which we've been up here many times before talking about the difficulty of developing large commercial sites, particularly when they are adjacent to an even larger commercial site where the Kroger Shopping Center is located. And so we are asking to shift the balance here to allow for a multifamily development of up to 180 units. We believe that this is probably one of the more ideal locations for multifamily development that I've ever brought before you as a petition. We have five access points on Ogeechee Road. I've been here before with other applications where we are looking at a singular access point, one in, one out with an emergency entrance. Here we have five different access points as part of the already approved development of Berwick Plantation PD, which was approved by this board and was approved by Chatham County. Within those five access points, two of those access points are signalized. And so we believe that in terms of an ingress and egress standpoint, this is ideal. From a second standpoint, when we come before you with multifamily, we always try and bring you projects that are appropriate for their surroundings. The surroundings for this area immediately adjacent to us will be another multifamily project. In the remainder of the Berwick PD in this location, we have a grocery store, we have a hardware store, we have medical offices, we have a gym, We have a Starbucks. We have restaurants. We have automobile service shops. We have all of the amenities that anyone looking to live in a multifamily community would want to have in close proximity to their residents. And so from the traffic impact standpoint, from a traffic engineering standpoint, that is, multifamily in general has less of a traffic impact than a similar commercial use. In addition to that, because of this location, because we have all of the adjacent uses nearby, there's such a thing called internal capture, where we are hoping that our residents who come in and move here, when they want to go to the grocery store, they're not going to get on Highway 17 and drive into town. They're not going to go anywhere else but for the grocery store that already exists in their community. And so there's a net decrease in traffic impact to Highway 17 and to Ogeechee Road. And we hope that this proposal will benefit from that. We're bringing the residents that can support the businesses in a way that reduces the traffic impact on the surrounding community. I should also mention that as we've gone through this process of looking at taking this site from changing the master plan from commercial to multifamily residential, our development team has had a concept review meeting with Chatham County Engineering. We have shown them the plans. Plans have been amended in order to address the concerns brought to us by County Engineering. I want to say that the internal rights of way widths in this project were widened to accommodate county fire standards to 24 feet right of ways. And we similarly realigned the entrance point that you can see right here to align with the signalized entrance. And so what we are proposing today, and as staff has recommended approval of, is for a master plan amendment to shift the uses that are allowed here from commercial to multifamily. And we have the recommendation of staff, and we look to see to receive your recommendation for approval as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all might have. But if there are any traffic or engineering concerns, we do have with us, like I said, Rusty Windsor from Kimley Horn, who can answer those questions. So thank y'all.
Thank you, Mr. Yeller. I think you're going to get hit with quite a few questions. So I'll come to the board and see. Any questions for the petitioner? Mr. Kaler, don't forget your microphone.
Yes, and this is for Mr. Yellen, not necessarily for the engineering folks, but and I understand that you have met with county engineering staff, and we've had a number of issues which you're well aware of dealing with the entrance road. With this development and the development that's occurred here over the last couple of years, this is that's no longer being looked at as a driveway. We had a number of issues here last year when we were trying to get that road repaired. We got a lot of complaints, and you know, we had a time trying to find somebody because nobody really took ownership of the full road. One of the conditions that I think the Board of Commissioners is going to place on you is we need to address that road ownership, and we need to address the maintenance of the road. So there's we're probably going to recommend that road be brought up to county standards, which it wasn't when it was originally built, and we need to address the ongoing maintenance of that roadway because it's no longer a driveway, so to speak, anymore.
Yes, sir. And to answer just or to quickly piggyback on that, we are only here today on behalf of the applicant who is looking at this 11-acre site. I personally am not representing the declarant for this property and don't have any control over the declarant in terms of the roadway maintenance. My understanding is that there is a declaration and covenants in place that should be addressing the maintenance. My apologies if they are not occurring in a timely manner. I know that with the other applicants who have come before this board previously, one of the conditions that was imposed was for a traffic impact analysis. And that is something that we were looking at doing as well. We are happy to study those reports and to make the accommodations that we can to work with the county, to work with traffic engineering, and to take the findings of that traffic impact analysis and make the conversions that we can do to make this area function better from a vehicular standpoint. And so we are willing to do that. I'm just not sure how today we can bring in a party who's not before you and who controls these roads.
Well, and I would ask my colleagues to, while we support it, I'd like to put a condition that, you know, that be done. Because you, as you said, you're, you may not be the one that's developing the road, but like I said, with this, you know, with this single family, although, you know, you may allude to the fact that there may be less traffic than a maybe a commercial development, you're still going to have, you know, two cars per unit, and that's a heck of a lot more cars going in and out there. So I would, you know, encourage my colleagues to put that condition on it.
Yes, sir. And I will say that from our, we had a traffic memorandum, an initial traffic memorandum prepared, and it did appear that based upon this change in use classification, there would be at least a reduction of 500 cars per day as compared to the commercial use. But understand the concerns about these being internal roads, and that obviously for us coming in as developer, we want to have a functioning road system as well so that our residents can come in and out safely and get to where they need to go. So thank you.
Quick question. You said there would be a reduction of about 500 cars. Would that be that? I'm assuming that is to Highway 17 and not the internal roadways.
Exactly. The my name is Rusty Windsor with Kimley Horn for the record. And the numbers exactly are that it's 517 trips reduced on Highway 17. These they would be utilizing the internal roads to go to the Kroger, the Starbucks, automotive repair shop, those type of things during the day.
Okay, and I think the concern here is not necessarily the traffic impact on 17. However, that is part of a concern. But right now, the internal road system is the biggest concern because that is going to present the biggest issue immediately.
Well, let me reiterate one thing that he said. He said that it would be a reduction because from commercial to multifamily, and that's slightly incorrect. And for another development, we did a full traffic study in Pooler, multifamily. It was a commercial 20-acre development. There was about a 40 to 50% traffic reduction going from commercial to multifamily. So that traffic would be reduced off of Highway 17. That's a reduction internally everywhere if you change the designation from commercial to multifamily.
Okay. Ms. Jarrett.
So you're saying the internal traffic doesn't increase, that overall the traffic counts are reduced? Okay. What about the condition of the road? I think that's kind of the elephant in the room that the commissioners were talking about earlier. We are very concerned that you have a road to access your site, not your road, but the road to access your site is not adequate to allow for the trips that your residents will be taking.
So let me ask a question of that. I mean, reiterate that with a question back to you. Are you saying that the width and lanes and the configuration of the road isn't adequate?
And the integrity of the road.
Integrity of road. So I think we, with the traffic memo, we've proven that the alignment and configuration of the roadway.
We're not talking about the traffic numbers. We're talking about the ability of the road to stand up to the amount of traffic that goes over it.
That would be, that's a question of the declarant, not of us today.
Would you be willing to talk to the declarant and find out what's going to happen with that road prior to our approving your development?
So I guess one other thing I guess I would bring up is, we're coming to you today on behalf because of this amendment. If somebody were to come in and do a commercial development, they would not be here in front of you today. They would be going straight to staff and the concerns wouldn't be addressed. So I think we're willing to work with the developer and MPC on trying to determine the correct way to do it. There's a, everybody pays into an construction and maintenance portion of the POA, and so they just need to find out who the declarant is.
Mr. Kegler.
And I'd say, and I understand that what we're doing, we're putting you on notice this is what we want to see. And you're correct, if you were commercial, we wouldn't be having that discussion. We'd be dealing with it another way. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure we put you on notice, because I want to make sure whoever develops there understand what we're requesting.
Any further questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you. Are there any member of the public wish to speak on this item? None? Okay. We'll entertain a motion.
Coleman, make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Urban, second.
All right, motion is on the floor made by Mr. Coleman and seconded by Mr. Urban and for approval. Any discussion? Okay, we'll enter into a vote. Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
And Mr. Wildwoody?
Yes.
I too vote yes and motion carries. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and as presentations, there are none listed. We're going to other business. So at this time, we will entertain a motion to go into executive session, and we'll try to keep that extremely brief.
Bowles making a motion to recess to executive session.
Why would he second?
All right, thank you. I need a motion to come back out of the executive session.
Coleman makes such a motion to return from the executive session.
Second by Joe Welch.
All right, thank you. All right. We've returned from the executive session and now we're at adjournment. So adjourn.
Mr. Chair, do you make a statement about that there were no?
Oh, no actions were taken. No action was taken in the executive session. So then we'll go ahead and move on to the adjournment. Do we need a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn.
Thank you. Adjourn.